Village Store, Joan Davis, proprietor, Jack Haley, manager. Rebroadcast especially for you soldiers, sailors, marines, and Coast Guardsmen. Now, here's the star and proprietor of the Village Store, Joan Davis.
Mrs. Ellis, call again. Oh, by the way, I just got a letter from my brother Joey in the Army.
You did? How's he doing?
Oh, he's doing swell. He's just been promoted. They made him a KP.
Miss Davis, don't you know what KP means?
Well, of course I do. KP means Colonel's Pet.
And now our Fountainaires, accompanied by Eddie Paul and his orchestra, blend their voices in a new song entitled, Don't Sweetheart Me.
Don't sweetheart me, if you don't mean it. Don't talk sweet words, if they're not true. Don't tear my heart like it was paper, because my heart loves only you.
You can't go around sweethearting others.
Love must be true, mean what you're saying, unless you do. Don't sweetheart me, if you don't mean it. Don't give me that sweet talk. Don't sweetheart me, if you don't mean it. Don't talk sweet words, if they're not true.
No, no, thank you, man.
What is it, Albert?
No. You sweetheart me, you know?
Oh, Ellen!
Our love is true. Mean what we're saying. And since we do, we'll sweetheart us. Don't sweetheart me. If you don't mean it, unless you do, you don't need to sweetheart.
As we look in on the Village Store, we find Joan Davis and Jack Haley discussing Joan's new picture career.
Oh, Jack, ever since I became a screen star, my life hasn't been my own. Why, I'm living in a goldfish bowl.
What's wrong with that?
Did you ever try eating some of that stuff they throw at us, goldfish? And, you know, I can't go anywhere without crowds following me.
Yeah, and your career has just started. Well, right now I have your picture with every studio in Hollywood. And you've got a very attractive offer.
Really, Jack? Did I get the offer from Zanuck at 20th Century Fox?
No.
Did I get it from Mayer at MGM?
No.
Did I get it from Selznick at United Artists?
No.
Well, what studio does want me?
I don't know. What studio is Ripley with?
Ripley? Why, Mr. Haley, I'll have you know that I'm considered a celebrity. Some of the stars have put their feet in the cement at Grauman's Chinese. Others have put their hands in it.
So what?
Well, I'm the only girl they ever asked to put her face in it. Come to think of it, they didn't say anything about taking it out. Oh, gee, Jack, just think. You know, I'm a glamour girl now. Tell me, do you think I'm vivacious?
I sure do, and I'm not the only one. All the men in town say you have vim, vigor, and vitality.
So you mean vitality?
No, vitalis. You get in their hair.
Well, I'm sure to be a big star. Just think of all the money that I'll make.
Just think of all the tax you'll have to pay.
Then let's get back to all the money I'll make, shall we? By the way, Jack, have you computed my 1943 tax yet?
Yeah, I just finished it. And according to my figures, the government owes you $4.23.
The government owes me $4.20. Jack, that doesn't seem possible.
Well, that's what my figures show.
Oh, I knew if I left it to you, you'd get it all mixed up. That's why I asked the tax expert to come up. That's five taxes. To come up and figure it out for me.
You asked the tax expert. But I can't be wrong. I defy you to name one person who is as smart, as brilliant, as capable as I am. Just one person.
Mortimer Snurd.
Well, you're ringing in the dummy. Well, who is this mathematical genius you asked to come up here?
Who is he?
Yes.
Edward Everett Horton.
Oh, yeah. Edward Everett Horton. Three of the dumbest guys I ever met.
Oh, he is not. He just plays that part in pictures. When he gets here, you'll find out that he has one of the keenest minds in Hollywood. He's positively brilliant. He's... Why, here he is now. Hello, Eddie. It's great to see you.
It is? I mean, it is. Or is it? Or is it? And it's a pleasure to see you again. Now, don't tell me your name. Don't you tell me. I know it. Of course, it's Mammy Yoakum.
Mammy Yoakum? Why, I'm Joan Davis, and I was just telling Jack how brilliant you are.
You were?
Yeah, and I would have gotten away with it, too, if you hadn't shown up.
Hi, Eddie.
Oh, hello, hello, hello there. How are you?
Well, you remember him, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course. This is your son, little Abner.
Listen, I'm Jack Haley, and this is Joan Davis.
Oh, so you are. I'm sorry. Yes, you'll have to excuse my glasses. They're just a little cloudy, you know. Now, Miss Davis, what did you ask me up here for?
Well, it's about my income tax. I want you to help me out. I'm having trouble with my form. Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't worry. I can help you. Figures are my meat, and I think I can say without fear of contradiction that that's what your figure needs, more meat.
Now, look, I'm talking about my income tax.
Oh, of course, yes. Well, Miss Davis, what seems to be your trouble?
Well, Eddie, according to our figures, the government owes me $4.23, and I want to collect it.
You do? Mm-hmm. Miss Davis, shame on you. Are you trying to undermine our national economy? Are you trying to cause a nationwide repercussion?
Well, no.
Are you trying to stir up a congressional investigation?
Now, look, Eddie.
And you, Mr. Haley, you're a party to this insidious plot. Do you realize what all this can lead to?
But I haven't.
Why, the entire Treasury Department will be in a turmoil. The bookkeepers will have to stay up all night, neglect their wives and families.
But, Eddie...
The wives will be frantic and run out looking for them. Their children will be left alone to shift for themselves. They'll go hungry. They'll be undernourished, anemic, starved.
Here's the $4.23. Go out and get those kids something to eat.
Miss Davis, please. This is no laughing matter. This is serious. Do you two want to contribute to juvenile delinquency?
Okay. How much do you want us to contribute?
Miss Davis, if you don't mind, I'd better check your return. You may have made an error somewhere.
That's possible. Come on in the office, Eddie, and I'll go over it with you.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. You know the old saying, two heads are better than one.
Yeah, and I also know the new saying. When the heads belong to Haley and Horton, you can forget the old saying.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, this won't take long, Miss Davis. We'll be back shortly.
Okay. Gee, I'll certainly be grateful to Eddie if he can straighten out my tax so I won't have to worry about the whole
thing.
I get so mixed up. Oh, hiya, Blimpy. What can I do for you?
Oh, Miss Davis, I'm refurnishing my home, and I thought you might give me a little advice on how to do it.
Well, I'd love to, Blimpy, but how can I help?
Well, I was wondering where you bought that lovely wallpaper you have in your breakfast room with the red polka dot.
Oh, those aren't polka dots. One day I was eating tomato soup and I sneezed. Beautiful, though, ain't it?
Yeah.
Tell me, Blimpy, what motive do you intend using?
Oh, I really want the place to look as if I had planned everything personally. I was wondering how I can get part of myself in every room.
Well, that's easy. Just stand in the hall and spread out a little.
Miss Davis, you just don't appreciate the finer things the way I do. My bedroom is furnished entirely in early American. And do you know, it's done something to me. Why? Nearly every night I dream of those old colonial days.
You do?
Mm-hmm, yes. Last night I dreamed that Paul Revere rode right into my room. I was seated at my dressing table, waving my hair.
Waving your hair? Well, what's the matter? Couldn't you afford a flag?
Oh, it was so thrilling. He came to warn me that the British were coming. I had a mud pack on my face, and my hair was in rag curlers. And when Paul Revere saw me, do you know what he did?
Yeah, he turned around and went back to warn the British.
Miss Davis, please. Hmm? You have little reason to talk. It wouldn't hurt you to give your own hair a permanent wave.
Oh, no, thanks. I had a permanent once, and I'll never forget it. Why, I sat under the wave machine for 12 hours with the juice turned on.
12 hours? Oh, goodness. All that electricity in your hair. What did you do?
Well, what could I do? I started wearing a switch.
Ah! next. It's going to be so cozy and lovely. Ah! I'm using every little scrap to build a pretty house. And then I'll get a great big clap and cut myself a spout. Woo-hoo!
Got a wonderful voice. I love the way she throws herself into a song. I can't wait until she sings Deep River.
As I was walking down the street, down the street, down the street, I met somebody who was mighty sweet, mighty fantasy. I asked her, would she like to have a talk? Have a talk, make some talk. All the fellas standing on the wall, wishing they were me. Oh, mama, mama, let me dress up tonight. Dress up tonight, dress up tonight. I've got a secret, gonna dress up tonight. Gonna dance by the light of the moon. Gonna dance with the dolly with a hole in his knocking while her knees keep a knocking and her toes keep a locking. Dance with the dolly with a hole in his stocking. Gonna dance by the light of the moon. Oh, mama, mama, put the cat out tonight. Now, I worked all day and gonna scat. And I won't be home until dawn. Gonna dance with the dolly with a hole.
Dancing.
Me too. Will you dance with me again? Just say the word and you'll make me very happy.
No.
Thanks. That's the word. Oh, Miss Davis.
Oh, Dave Street. Hiya, kid. How you doing with your girlfriend? Oh,
not so good. Last night I asked her if she wanted to become engaged and she said I'd have to ask her mother first. And now I've got a terrible problem.
Why? Did her mother say no?
No, she said yes. And now I'm engaged to her mother.
It could have been worse, kid. She might have told you to ask her father.
You know, Miss Davis. I've been thinking. I could break that engagement if you were seen out at dinner with me. But then I don't suppose a girl like you would ever play second fiddle.
Are you kidding? Look, kid, I played second fiddle so often, I'm known as the poor man's Yasha Hyphus. You better go ahead and sing something, Dave.
This is a lovely day to spend an evening. Can't think of anything I'd rather do. This is a spend an evening. Can't think of anyone as lovely as you. A casual stroll to a garden and a kiss by a lazy lagoon. Catching a breath of moonlight, humming our favorite tune. This is a lovely way to spend an evening. I want to stay all my night. And spend them with you.
Thanks, Dave. Say, Jack, how is Eddie coming along with my income tax?
Oh, Joni, I forgot to tell you. Eddie found a little error in addition.
He did?
Yeah, now instead of the government owing you money, you owe them $4.23.
Oh, fine. I had to hire an expert to tell me that.
Miss Davis. Oh, Miss Davis. I discovered a slight error in your tax.
I know. I owe the government $4.23.
Oh, no. That's just the first mistake. I rechecked it, and I found that you had the decimal point in the wrong place. You now owe $42.30.
Now, look, Eddie, every time you look at this thing, it costs me more money. Are you sure that you're right?
Why, of course I'm right. Now, there are a few things that I must know. Right here, in Schedule 8, it says, if the total of your payment, that's line 2D on page 4, is larger than your tax, line 20 on page 6, enter the difference. Now, what's the difference?
That's what I say. What's the difference? Let's forget about the whole thing.
Oh, no, not so fast. I must know about the amortization of emergency facilities.
That's included in the depreciation, obsolescence, and depletion stated in line 2, page 4, in regard to the corporate fiduciary. Ain't that right, Joni?
I don't know what you're talking about, Jack.
What makes you think I do?
Peter, please, this is all very, very simple. What it means is this. Where the tax liability of an individual for 1942 is discharged, and such tax liability is greater than the tax for 1943, then the 1942 tax liability is added to the 1943 tax liability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think of that?
Well, it's catchy, but it'll never take the place of Mercy Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Dice.
Peter, little attention. Here's a very important question. Have you included non-trade or non-business expenses incurred either for the production or collection of taxable income or for the management, conservation, or maintenance of property held for the production of taxable income? Now, Miss Davis, I called for a very simple answer.
Okay.
What is the meaning of that?
Well, that's the simplest answer I could think of. Look, Eddie, do you understand all this?
Why, certainly I do. I understand every bit of it. But, of course, in my case, it's easy. I'm a little bit nuts to start with.
I can't follow it either.
Well, I don't know why. There isn't a single word in there that should bother you.
It isn't a single word that bother me. It's the way they put them all together.
Well, I think I have all the information I need now. I'll check it once more to make sure. If you'll excuse me. Yes, I'll be back in a few minutes.
I hope he gets the right answer this time.
I don't care what answer he gets. I'm not going to pay it.
What are you talking about? Why won't you pay it?
Because it's all Greek to me, and I'll be darned if I'll pay taxes to a foreign country.
Oh, look. Oh, Joni. Look who's coming in the store. Penny Cartwright.
Oh, that Penny Cartwright.
Why are you always picking on Penny, Joni?
Well, she invited me to a wedding reception at her house last night, and she embarrassed me. She said I ruined the groom's full-dress suit.
Well, you did ruin his suit. All I did was throw rice at him.
Well, if you only threw rice at him, why did he get all messed up?
It wasn't my fault. In the excitement, I forgot to take it out of the chop suey.
Was suey, suey. You were very, very rude.
I was not. I did everything according to the etiquette book. The book said to keep an eye on the hostess and do exactly as she did.
Well, Mother was the hostess. Did you do exactly as she did?
Certainly. I kept watching her, and when I saw her kick your father under the table, I went over and kicked him, too. And furthermore, you can't talk about my manners. The rest of your guests weren't very mannerly, either.
Why, what do you mean, Miss Davis?
Well, when they played charades, that game where you act out a book title and the rest try to guess what it is, they insulted me.
Oh!
Well, I wasn't even playing. I just walked in and some wise guy jumped up and yelled, I know, that's the wreck of the Hesperus.
Well, that's a natural mistake. After all, you haven't got a figure like Penny's. Penny, where did you get a beautiful figure like that?
Oh, I inherited it. Mother handed it down to me.
She did?
Yes. Did you get your figure from your mother?
No, she wasn't through with it yet, so I got my father's.
Well, I can believe that. The way you wear clothes, Miss Davis. Why, that fur coat that I lent you looks terrible on you.
Well, no wonder it was made out of groundhog fur.
Groundhog? Why, Miss Davis, what makes you say that?
When I had it on, every time that coat saw its own shadow, it pulled me into a hole.
And your another thing, Miss Davis. You certainly embarrassed me at the party with that exhibition of spooning in the living room.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Emily Post frowns on that sort of thing. She says when it comes to spooning, if one is smart, one doesn't. Does one, Jack?
No, it takes two to do a good job.
Well, really, Jack. Not only is kissing crude, it's also very unsanitary. When I studied biology, I learned that there are enough germs in one kiss to kill 32 rabbits.
There are?
Yes, and believe me, that taught me a lesson.
You said it. Never kiss a rabbit. Kiss an animal that can take it. Kiss an animal that can take it.
Oh, you heard it before. Okay.
Well, I must run along now. I have to go to the fish market and see what I can get from Mother.
Well, I don't think you'll get over 40 cents a pound for the old flounder.
Goodbye, Jack.
Goodbye, Fanny. Hey, Joni, we better find out how Eddie's doing with your check.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. What if I don't have any money left after I pay it? There are other things in my life more important than money.
Yeah? Name a few.
Well, there are men and, Diamond, I could have sworn there was something else.
Miss Davis? Oh, wait till I tell you what I found in your tax. This'll kill you.
Oh, you sound kind of happy. Don't tell me we're back to 423 again.
Well, yes, in a way. You now owe the government $423.
Well, I knew taxes were going up, but not that fast. It'll take me about 8 years to pay that.
How many years?
Eight. From the billiard ball of the same name, which you are rapidly putting me behind.
Joni, surely you don't mind paying that.
Well, I'd love to pay it, except for one thing. I haven't got it.
You haven't got it? Oh, Miss Davis, you are in trouble. Or you've only 6 days to pay it. Or you'll go to jail. Can't you borrow it someplace?
Joni, you have nothing to worry about. I know who'll lend you that money.
Jack, not you.
That's right, not me. You can borrow it from Blimpy.
Oh, Blimpy wouldn't lend. Hey, wait a minute. I've got an idea. Blimpy is refurnishing her house, and she's crazy about antiques.
What are you getting at?
Well, if I can find something in the store to palm off on her as an antique, she'll pay any price for it. Do you get it?
Oh, yeah. I see the light now.
Than you'll ever know.
anything yet that we can palm off on Glimpy as an antique?
Oh, Miss Davis, here's something I think we can sell her. It looks like an antique.
Let's see it, Eddie. Oh, this is not an antique. It's my father's old trench helmet from the last war.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, I thought it was a soup bowl with a strap.
Wait a minute, Joni. He's right. Why can't we sell this helmet to Blippi as an old copper soup bowl?
Oh, don't be silly, Jack. She'll never go for that.
Sure she will. You women are all gullible. Eddie and I will put it over, won't we, Eddie?
Well, if you say so.
Sure. We men must stick together.
That's right. We men must stick together.
How do you like that? It isn't bad enough. There's a manpower shortage. The ones that are left have to be stuck together.
Look, Joni, we better use this helmet. We haven't got much time. When you telephoned Blippi, she said she'd be right over.
Hey, you're right at that. Look, Eddie, now you pretend that you're an antique collector who came up here just to get this soup bowl. And, Jack, you make believe you don't want me to sell it. That'll make her more anxious to buy it.
Okay, leave it to me.
But don't forget, as soon as she gets the $423, sell it to her.
Okay. Look out, here comes Blippi now.
Oh, Miss Davis, please, quick, look. There's a bullet hole in the side of the helmet. How are you going to explain that?
Oh, don't worry. I'll think of something.
I can hardly wait to get over here. Where is that antique you have for sale?
Well, take it easy, Blimpy. It's right here. Oh, by the way, I want you to meet Mr. Horton.
Oh, goody. How much do you want for him?
Please, madam, please, please. Let go of my arm. Don't mess with the merchandise unless you're going to buy.
Well, here's the antique, Blimpy. It's an old colonial soup bowl.
Let me see it. Ooh, this is very unusual, Miss Davis. I'll give you $500 for it.
Oh, no, you don't. We want $423 another. Miss
Davis, are you sure this is a genuine colonial soup bowl?
Is it a genuine colonial soup bowl? Blimpy, I'll have you know George Washington slurped here.
But what is this strap? I never saw a soup bowl with a strap.
Oh, then? Well, that's in case you eat like a horse. You can strap it over your head like a feed bag.
Oh, now, that sounds ridiculous.
It does? How's this sound? If your soup is too hot, you take it by the strap and swing it over your head until it's cool.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
It does?
Yes, I think that... Just a moment. What is this hole in the side of the bowl?
That's a drain.
A drain?
Yeah, that's in case somebody serves soup you don't like. You drain it off into your pocket and they never know the difference.
Very well, Miss Davis. My offer stands. I'll give you $500. Here's the money.
Oh, boy, at last I got my hands on the dough. Now I won't have to worry about going to jail.
Pardon me, are you Miss Davis?
Yes, what can I do for you?
I'm from the Smithsonian Institute. We collect historic American relics, and we want you...
Please, I'll have you know I am not a relic.
Let me finish my sentence. We want you to sell us a helmet we believe you have. It was worn by a certain Leroy Davis.
Leroy Davis? Well, that's my father.
That helmet was the first helmet issued in the last World War, and we're prepared to offer $1,000 for it.
Just a moment. Is this soup bowl I just bought what you're looking for?
That's it, madam. Now, if you'll come along with me to the bank, I'll give you a check for $1,000.
Woo-hoo-hoo! That's wonderful. Well, goodbye, Miss Davis, and thanks for the bowl. Woo-hoo-hoo! It looks like you're in a soup. Soup.
Well, Miss Davis, it looks like you've been snared in your own trap.
Yeah, well, that's what you think. By selling that helmet to the Smithsonian Institute, the joke is on Blippi.
What do you mean?
Now she'll never find the $3,000 in Liberty bonds hidden in the lining.
Joni, what are you laughing at? Blippi outsmarted you and pulled a fast one.
Oh, yeah? Well, just remember one thing. No wise guy can put anything over on me. No, sir. It takes a dope like Joan Davis to do it. Joan Davis, I'll kill that girl. Where is she? Oh, yeah.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Village Store, starring Joan Davis and Jack Haley, with special guest Edward Everett Horton.